You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 476 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is Monday evening, deep into the night here. As you can probably hear, I'm on the scene at State Farm Arena in the aftermath of what was actually a pretty entertaining basketball game between the Hawks and the Los Angeles Clippers on Monday evening. It was a 127-119 final in favor of the visiting team. And honestly, if you looked at that, you might think this game was more lopsided than it was, but it wasn't. The Hawks led for most of the game. Not the entire way. It was a lot of back and forth, to be honest, but the Hawks did have the lead for more of this game. In the end, though, it was the Clippers kind of just dominating the fourth quarter, at least late in the fourth quarter, and that was enough to get them yet another win and have the Hawks lose their eighth straight. So, I mean, nothing surprising about that in the big picture, just because of the fact that, of course, the Hawks are not as good as the Clippers, but I guess a small picture, Hawks played well in this game, and that should be noted. Before we get to the actual game, there were a couple of news and notes kind of things before this game was actually taking place. Jalen Adams was recalled from Erie. He of course, is on a two-way contract. The former St. Bonaventure point guard is now with the Hawks. He was inactive in this game. Actually, he was alongside Alex Poitras, Tyler Dorsey, and Daniel Hamilton as the inactives. No big surprise there, but Adams, the time is kind of interesting, but Erie only plays one game over the next week plus, and that was the rationale for having him in Atlanta, kind of practicing with the team, being around the team, and that does make sense in my opinion. I will say also that apparently I was not at shoot-around early in the day on Monday, but Lloyd Pierce apparently said that Alex Poitras could return to Erie as well next week. No surprise there. He would be the odd man out probably in the front court rotation. Poitras has been someone I have certainly advocated for in the early going of the season, but at the same time, with the fact that he's on that two-way clock, no big surprise that he would go back to Erie in the near future. Also, there were a couple of interesting sort of minutes restrictions and things like that. Both John Collins and Justin Anderson were on minutes restrictions in this game. Also, Torian Prince was upgraded sort of surprisingly to probable and then ended up playing in this game. He was doubtful overnight, so I was kind of planning on him not being available in this game, having the Hawks take a little bit longer of a look at guys like Anderson, but Prince played in this game and kind of did Prince things. We'll talk about him more later on, but that was a pleasant surprise for Hawks fans to see him in the lineup when it wasn't look like he was going to be happening. Also, just one note for the Clippers in advance of this game is that they actually had to rule out Danilo Gallinari, who's their starting power forward, out with an illness before this game started. They actually started three guards. The Hawks went still with a pretty big lineup with Amari Spellman starting at the four. We'll talk about him later. That was a little bit of a surprise to me. Not stunning, but after, I think if it was me, once they announced that Gallinari was not going to play and they were going small, I probably wouldn't have started Spellman, and the Hawks paid for that a little bit early in this game as he was tasked with trying to guard Tobias Harris. That's a pretty rough matchup for Spellman, but just some news and notes there before we get going. Now that we're actually at the game point here, the Hawks did play very well early on in this contest. I argued at the time, and I think I probably still believe this, it was one of the best offensive quarters of the entire season for the Hawks. They had 34 points in the first quarter, but it wasn't just that. The first 6, 7 minutes, maybe 8 minutes was really impressive offense from Atlanta. Trae Young had two quick buckets out of the gate off the dribble and at the rim, which is encouraging. Also had his only three of the game and ended up being his only three, but in a four-point play in the opening minutes to kind of break a drought from three that he has been having. The Hawks did have four turnovers in the first 4 minutes, but aside from that, there wasn't too much to denigrate the Hawks for offensively. There was a couple of early subs with Collins and Kevin Herter and Dwight Devin coming in the game, but Trae had 10 points and four assists in the first 5.5 minutes or so. John Collins had 6 points in a row at one point, including two dunks in the first quarter. The Hawks went very deep in the rotation. They played 12 guys in this game, and all 12 played in the first 10 minutes, which is kind of stunning to see that from any NBA team. But really, without foul trouble and without injury, they went to 12 guys in one quarter in a competitive portion of the game. It's pretty surprising to see that, but still, it was and Pierce talked about this after the game. It was basically just because of the fact that they're trying to find out lineups and find out the rotation right now, and they have a lot of options. I tweeted about this early in the game, actually before the game even started, that there's probably, there's 7 or 8 guys that we know are going to play every game. And after that, I'm not entirely sure, once Pierce sort of knocks it down to a 10-man rotation or so, who gets left out. It kind of depends on what Justin Anderson is asked to do. He was basically playing small forward in his one stint in this game, which we'll talk about later. But guys like Vince Carter, Justin Anderson, DeAndre Bembry, even I think might be in the periphery here, as well as Amari Spellman. Those guys, I think I would probably lean towards Bembry and Spellman because they're younger and they've been playing a lot more than those guys. But in the big picture, I'm not 100% sure on the rotations. And I think Pierce talked about that a little bit after the game. He talked about why he 1 to 12 guys, and that was kind of a sort of some experimentation there from the head coach. Defensively, there was some really poor defense early on in the game, which kind of allowed the Clippers to hang around because obviously the Hawks being so good on offense, they probably should have pulled away a little bit, but defensively there were some issues. I mentioned before that having Spellman guard Tobias Harris was problematic. Harris had about, I think he had 8 points in the first 4 minutes of the game, and that was a lot of that was on Spellman. That's not his fault. It's a bad matchup for him, and Harris is very, very good. You know, Harris had 24 points, 8 rebounds in this game. But, yeah, it's one of those things where he's dangerous, and Spellman is kind of underqualified to be playing defense against a guy like that on the perimeter for the most part. Elsewhere, Hawks shot 67% from the floor in the first quarter. I mentioned that to go along with the positive offense. They had 9 points from Dwight Dedmon. Trey Young had a good game, of course, early on in this game. There was a 10-0 run by the Clippers in the second quarter once the Hawks took their largest lead to kind of bring things back to even. And from there, it was a lot of back and forth, obviously, as you might imagine by the final score. There was some Spellman at center minutes that I noted late in the first half, which is interesting. They went to Spellman and Carter in the front court alongside with Herter and Young. Defensively, that's going to be tough to live with those four guys playing together. But I was okay at least trying it in a small sample size here. Also, there was a nice flurry from Spellman and Herter at one point. Those guys sort of combined for, I think, 6 straight points to get back within a six-point game. Jeremy Lin and Trae Young played together at the close of the first half for a little bit of time. The Hawks did cool off considerably in the second quarter. They shot 11 of 29 from the floor and 2 of 11 from 3 in the second quarter, but still some pretty good numbers before halftime. A 115 offensive rating. Trey had 19 and 7 in the first half. Dedmon had 11 and 6, and Kevin Herter had a nice 8 points binge at one point in the first half. After halftime, the Hawks actually scored the first 5 points and went up by 15 at one point. They had an 11-0 run, went up by 15 points, and actually at the 2:39 mark of the third quarter, they were up by 14 points. I noted that at the time, even before anything else happened, just to say that sort of, it felt like a big spot. The Clippers had threatened to come back, and they were not able to do so, but once it got to 14, it was pretty much all Clippers from there. There were actually, you know, to his credit, a trio of shots made by Jeremy Lin to sort of stem the tide from the Clippers late in the third quarter, keeping the Hawks' offense afloat a little bit. But the Clips got within seven at the end of the third. And then overall, a 20-5 run from Los Angeles to take a one-point lead with 9 minutes to go. The Hawks didn't fade there, I will say. You know, Prince had 5 straight points at one point, and then actually Alex Len had a couple of nice big buckets to keep the Hawks in front. But things sort of gave way. There was a 6-0 run to go up by 7 points with 3 to go. Mike Scott hit a couple of huge shots down the stretch, and basically they were just too much for the Hawks at the end of this game, just executing, getting to the line, making threes, making big shots, and the Hawks' offense sort of deserted them in the fourth quarter. One note on the injury front, Amari Spellman left this game with a hip contusion in the fourth quarter. No word on how serious that was. It actually probably wouldn't have even noticed because I think it would have been justifiable to not go back to him. And he didn't play all that much in this game. He was actually better in his second stint in the second half than he was in the first half. But Spellman, that was something that they was no further information on that at this point in time. So we'll see how the reaction is there for Spellman as the Hawks do play again on Wednesday evening, so we'll see how he fares there, injury report-wise. One other note that I actually asked John Collins about after this game is that they featured him a lot in the high post offensively. He actually did say on the record that he was talking about how the scheme is a little bit different this year. They give him a little bit more latitude. He had the ball in his hands, had a really nice dribble drive past Tyrone Wallace, who's actually a perimeter player. Collins was really comfortable with the ball in his hands, hit a couple of threes. Basically, you know, he talked about, you know, the same stuff that you might think of him talking about, just kind of taking what the defense gives him. At the same time, it's very clear they want him to have the ball in his hands more often than he used to have it, at least during his rookie season. Some of that's just working out of the elbow. There's actually a good piece written by Jeff Siegel breaking down some video on Monday morning that I would definitely encourage people to go back and check up on PeachTreeHoops.com, talking about that a little bit, and that was a very clear emphasis in this game from the Hawks, and it worked out very well as Collins helps to really unlock their offense in several ways. Before we get into the individual stuff in this game, I do want to take a moment to talk about the good folks at MyBookie. And you know what, every time I started this podcast and well before that, people have always asked me for advice when it comes to betting on sports. And usually it's a team that they probably want to wager on. But the truth is, I don't really know who's going to win, honestly, all the time. And with that said, if you think you do know, you got to check out mybookie.ag, because who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on. And that's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Obviously, Thanksgiving is coming up. A lot of football going on. That's usually a pretty friendly handicapping sport, so you want to jump on that as well in the coming days. And I'm urging you to go to MyBookie because that's the best place that you could possibly go to fire away on Thanksgiving. Otherwise, they have live in-game betting They have really rewarding player perks. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can bet the over-under on fantasy points for different guys. So if you like that sort of aspect of the handicapping world, they provide a lot of options for that as well. So if you join now today, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. And they'll match listeners' deposits, their first deposit up to 100%, up to $1,000. Yes, 100% deposit match bonus up to $1,000 if you use the promo code Locked On. One more time, that's the promo code Locked On. Activate this offer. Visit mybookie.ag online today, and don't forget to use the promo code Locked On when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. And we're back here to discuss the individual stuff in this game. And there was a lot to talk about, honestly. That, you know, when you play 12 guys, it becomes difficult to kind of go through all of them. But here we are to go ahead and do just that. We'll start with the bench in this game. Justin Anderson only played the one stint of 3 minutes. I think they would have brought him back. The plan going into the game was to have him capped at 12 minutes. Pierce said that in the pregame, and they were going to do it in 3-minute increments. But the game got close, and I don't think that you want to throw a guy out there who is probably as rusty as Anderson was in a close game in the second half. So no surprise that he never came back in. Still, I thought Anderson looked okay. It's a small sample. He missed his only shot. It was an open shot. He caught it and shot it comfortably and confidently. So that's good to see there. But in the aggregate, not too much to take away from that. Other than that, the fact that he was healthy and available, which is good to see. Elsewhere, Vince Carter, 14 minutes, 1-5 from the floor, 2.3 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. 5 fouls in 14 minutes for Carter. That was a theme the entire game, is that the Clippers took 47 free throws. 47. And I asked about that after the game. Pierce kind of gave a pretty diplomatic response, but still, I guess, noted that, you know, at home it's tough to give up 47 free throws. A couple of guys kind of, you know, winked a little bit in the direction of maybe they didn't love the officiating in this game. Nobody said that out loud, but the Clippers were aggressive. They have guys who get to the line a lot. Montrezl Harrell got to the line 18 times, made 15 of those. Lou Williams did Lou Williams things with nine free throws of his own right. By the way, Lou was fantastic in this game, 16 and 11, despite the fact that he didn't shoot the ball well. 16, 11, and 7, by the way. 7 rebounds for Lou Williams is pretty crazy. Anyway, back to the individual stuff at hand. Vince Carter, foul trouble, didn't shoot the ball well. And on nights when Miss doesn't shoot the ball well, it's kind of tough to play him a lot of times. He's sort of in the right place at the right time for the most part. But this is a game where he didn't really make too much of an impact outside of the fouls. Jeremy Lin was muted a little bit in this game after, you know, a lot of play from Trae Young. They played a little bit together late in the first half with Trae going pretty well. They went a lot more to Young. Young played 37 minutes versus only 13 for Lin. I mentioned before, Lin had a really nice stretch of bucket getting in the third quarter, kind of keep the Hawks afloat. That was really all he did, though, in this game that was particularly noteworthy. That was his entire 7-point output. Didn't really give him a chance to flourish, which I'm sure people will point out, and rightly so. But this is a game where they went to Young, and tough to argue too much against that, even though Young struggled the fourth quarter. They weren't going to pull him at that time, given what he was able to produce in the first 3.5 quarters. Kevin Huerter, 14 minutes. I kind of want to see him a little bit more, honestly, in this game, but he did have foul trouble, had 5 fouls, did have 8 points and 3 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3, a couple of really nice-looking threes. One of them was not a great decision in terms of the shot selection, but it was a great-looking stroke. The other one was a catch-and-shoot that was just beautiful. His shot, when it's going right, just looks great, and Huerter played pretty well. He was actually a team-best plus 9. That's probably a little bit misleading, honestly, but yeah, I thought he played pretty well in a small sample here. DeAndre Bembry did not score, did not make a field goal, had 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal for Bembry. Still the same story with him, lack of finishing at the rim. There was one really bad miss at the rim that he has to make. The turnovers were not there today, which is good. You know, making 20 minutes with no turnovers for Bembry has been a positive development, I would say, but the finishing's got to get better. That was a big thing for me, but defensively he did play well in the time that he was allotted here. Dwayne Debin, 24 minutes. He was not efficient as a scorer, 5 of 13 from the floor for 13 points, but did have 12 rebounds and 2 blocks. He was very active defensively. He continues to be the Hawks' best center. That's something I'll keep saying until he's starting and probably after that, but Debin is the best center on the team. He split the minutes basically down the middle with Lin. I would like to see Debin play a little bit more than that, but maybe he's still ramping into form after his little bit of an absence when he missed 3 games for the birth of his child. So that's that. I thought he played well for the most part despite the lack of finishing around the rim. Finally, John Collins, 18 points and 6 assists. I thought he played great, 21 minutes. He probably played a little bit more than Pierce wanted him to, but still he was very very seriously capped. I think the Hawks would have played him a lot in that fourth quarter. There was a time when they were playing the Lin-Debman front court, which I'm actually okay with because I think Debman is a better four than some of the guys that the Hawks have, and they were also playing against a Harrell Boban front court. from the Clippers, but I think Collins would have been out there and under normal circumstances, and he played well here. You know, all the passing, all the shooting, all the dunking. He sort of just unlocks the offense, honestly. I do think there's a possibility that he can get a little bit overrated by the fan base, but the gap between the guys he's replacing and him is just massive, and it's just great to see Collins out there. I think I would argue the biggest reason the Hawks have been number 30 in offense so far is the lack of Collins. You know, there are other issues, obviously, with Young struggling a little bit at times and other guys struggling. Not, you know, Prince has not been great this year, but without Collins, it's just not the same offense. Collins, you know, probably is going to be like a full-blown superstar in the NBA, but at the same time, like his gravity, his athleticism, his force that he plays with is just huge for this Hawks offense, and you're seeing that firsthand in these first two games that he's come back and played. To the starters in this game, Spellman was the guy who didn't play a lot because of injury plus relative ineffectiveness. He did have one nice stretch in his second stint where he had a nice three and also a couple of good hustle plays, a nice outlet pass to Kevin Huerter. His first stint was rough defensively, but again, not really his fault that he's asked to play defense against Tobias Harris. That's a spot where it's going to be rough for him. I'm not really sure what Spellman's role is going to be when everyone is healthy and clicking all cylinders. Like when Collins is playing 30 minutes a game, is Spellman just going to be the backup four and that's it? Are there instances when he may not play? Are there instances when they go to guys like Anderson or Prince or even Carter in different matchups over Spellman? I'm not really sure, but I think I'd be trying to play Spellman whenever possible. It's just a situation where I think he's probably the worst rotation guy the Hawks have now that everyone's healthy. You know, he's better than a couple guys that the Hawks have that are not playing. But I think if you go down the list of players, I'm not sure who you think Spellman is better than. Maybe Carter, but those guys are just so different players that it kind of depends on matchups there. And obviously you're not going to be playing him over Deadman or over Collins. I mean, you could probably maybe argue there are times when he's better than Lynn at certain times when Lynn just doesn't have it on a certain night because Lynn is very inconsistent. But yeah, kind of rough for Spellman sometimes. But you know, a couple of nice moments that I should point out because he did have some strong third quarter play. Elsewhere, Alex Lynn, 12-12. That's overstating his impact. But he did a couple of nice plays in the fourth quarter, a couple of big shots, a nice dunk, a nice three. He made his only three, actually, of the game. He was minus 15. But I thought Lynn was actually this is better from him. Defensively, there were a couple of missteps I will point out, but in general, a pretty good game from Alex Lynn, all things considered. Kent Bazemore was pretty quiet, 4 points, 8 rebounds, didn't have an assist, had 2 blocks, though, and a steal. Defensively, he was definitely a focal point for the Hawks in this game. Offensively, didn't have too much responsibility, was kind of passive, which isn't a bad thing. You know, when Trey has it going and taking a lot of shots and creating a lot for himself and others, takes the focus off of Bazemore. Also, Prince was not shy in this game either, so Bazemore didn't have a huge part in the offense, but I thought he played well defensively. So otherwise, a pretty anonymous game, pretty average, maybe below average game for Bazemore, but it wasn't like he was bad either. Finally, Prince, 32 minutes, 21 points, 4 rebounds and 2 steals. Had a couple of big shots in the fourth quarter, which were worth pointing out. A couple of bad shot selection things, and there was one really bad misstep from him in the fourth that I pointed out on Twitter, where he had a pretty easy drop-off pass to John Collins for what would have absolutely been a dunk. Instead, he tried to finish over two guys and was unsuccessful. That was a sort of a rally killer for the Hawks in the fourth quarter. It's probably overstating it to talk about just how important that was, but still, I jumped off the screen to me, the screen, so to speak, because I'm in the building, but just my eyes would not let me pass that one up. But I thought Prince offensively had some nice moments. His shot selection is still questionable. But defensively, had a couple better plays than you would see from him. A couple of also head scratchers where he just doesn't give much effort at all. Another game where I think it probably overstates his impact to talk about how well he played. And the 21 points is probably overstating it, but still, I think he was okay for the most part. And finally, Trae Young, 37 minutes, 25 points, 17 assists, 6 turnovers. We were kind of joking offline in the locker room with a couple of writers and myself talking about his assist total. Might be a little bit stat friendly with the home crowd, but a lot of assists that were definitely legitimate. He got to the line 9 times, finished around the rim very well. Still didn't really make jump shots. He was 1 of 5 from 3, but from 2, he was 7 of 17. It's not great, but at the same time, not terrible either. And we'll see how he looks. But I sort of made the joke at halftime when he had 19 and 7 that he was no longer a bust. That was obviously with tongue firmly planted in cheek. I think Young had some really nice moments, especially in the first half. I thought he was really, really good. Second half, not quite as good, but his passing is just on point at all times. Honestly, there's some decision making problems occasionally with his turnovers, but his passing is elite. There's no question about that. And the way that he was able to get to the rim a lot in this game was encouraging. When Boban was out there, it wasn't quite as easy, obviously. But there were some nice moments finishing around the rim. And in general, a pretty good game for Young despite the relative inefficiency with his scoring. All told, again, you know, the Hawks, a good offensive game for the most part, a 110 offensive rating. Defensively, there were some issues. Obviously, a 118 defensive rating, allowing 127 is not going to get it done. But, you know, for three and a half quarters, they played pretty decent defense. The rebounding kind of killed them. 15 offensive rebounds for the Clippers, and that 47 free throws really kind of hurt a lot. So that's something that the Hawks want to clean up, obviously. I think that's a point of emphasis, and even Pierce even mentioned that as a point of emphasis, to play without fouling defensively. They've actually done a decent job at that at times this year, but this is not one of those games, and you're not going to win even against a team that's not playing all that well in the Clippers when you allow 47 free throw attempts in your home building. That's a rough one. But regardless, the Hawks have another day off here on Tuesday before they return into the same building to play the Toronto Raptors. That's obviously a very uphill climb, considering Toronto's been the best team arguably in the league so far, but I would definitely say in the Eastern Conference so far this season. So that's a spot where the Hawks are not expected to win. They've lost 8 in a row, but you know, they were competitive here. They certainly could have won this game fairly easily with a couple of breaks here and there in the fourth quarter and some improved play. So this is, I think, a step forward. I know they were underdogs and they didn't win this game, but the Clippers are really good. Honestly, it's a very deep, talented, balanced team, and the Hawks played well for, you know, three and two-thirds quarters, and that's a pretty good feather in their cap despite the loss here in this spot. So with that said, I will not come back actually unless something weird happens because of the holiday. No pod actually. That's going to be for Wednesday morning. We'll come back on Wednesday night. I actually will not be in the building for that one. Consider I have some family stuff to take care of, but I'll be back for Friday and Sunday. But regardless, I'll have that game covered for you as we always do. We'll talk about that one, and then we'll take a break for Thanksgiving. Come back with the Friday and Sunday games after that. So please stay tuned to my Twitter account at BT Roland. Please stay tuned to the Hawks. The Locked On Hawks Twitter account at Locked On Hawks. And thank you for listening. As always, please subscribe to the podcast, and we'll see you guys later on in this holiday week.